Confucius Teachings on Building a Happy Life, 39. Guidelines for Being a Good Person. A Foundation for Mahayana Buddhism Practice. Validated by Master Jin Kong. Speaker Teacher Cai Li Shi. Elaborating Di Zi Gui in Detail, 39.
Hello, my friends. Let us look at the next chapter on Become Close to the Benevolent Ones. We mentioned before that the word benevolent, 人, is a compound character which connotes two people. Which are these two people? It is to think of others when we think of ourselves. In other words, it is, don't do to others what you don't wish to be done upon you, and the attitude of, if you wish to establish yourself, establish others. If you seek to uncover your own wisdom, help others uncover theirs. To put it simply, it is to be thoughtful of others constantly. To judge if one is a benevolent person, we can look at it from several angles. Firstly, he must be kind-hearted. Secondly, he must be humble. And thirdly, can lead others by example. When we were running our course in Beijing, Teacher Yang happened to be dealing with some matters in Shandong. After traveling on the train for several hours at night, she arrived in Beijing at about 8 to 9 o'clock. At that time, we were running a 5-day course in a hotel. Without taking a rest, she came to the hotel to see everyone. When some of the students bumped into her, Teacher Yang said to them, "If our lectures are not well spoken, you must point out the shortcomings." Then she told these students, "If you didn't eat well and sleep well, you must give us feedback. Let us know. Otherwise, we would have been insufficient in our hospitality." She then said to these students, "Attending lectures must be very exhausting, so you should rest when you can."
"Is it toilsome to attend lectures?"
"Yes."
"So you should rest well today too."
Indeed, Teacher Yang is always considerate of others. Once she went to Haikou. While I was walking with her on the street, we saw an old lady pushing a cart to sell some fruits. She went over and bought some bananas from her. She deliberately chose some of the overripened and almost rotten ones. "What should we do when we have questions?" "We must ask." So I asked, "Teacher, why did you buy the bad ones?" She said, "These bad ones will rot if nobody buys them now, since we will eat them right away, so we should quickly buy them."
She actually did not plan to buy fruits, but bought them because an old lady was selling them. In addition, it is also a way of cherishing food. We should not waste food. So we can observe one's benevolence from whether he is kind-hearted or not. Secondly, we can observe from the humble attitude. This humble attitude is likened to the rice spike. The fuller it is, the lower it bends. Likewise, the sea can accommodate water from all rivers due to its humblest position. Confucius had edified so many students throughout his life, yet he said that he only recounted sages' teachings without adding his own ideas. It represents that Confucius was very humble. He said what he imparted was the truth that was passed down by ancient saints and emperors. The lineage of the emperors Yao Shun Yu Tang as well as Emperors Wen, Wu, and Zhou Gong. He was very humble. Only humility can correspond with morality. So we can judge whether one is benevolent from the aspect of humility. I had learned this when I was in Australia. At that time, Uncle Lu was sitting next to me, but I did not recognize his true identity after sitting with him for 1 to 2 weeks. Fortunately, I had learned this phrase, "I will serve others' parents as if I am serving my own parents." So I took the initiative to give him a bow and said, "Hello, Uncle Lu." Otherwise, I would have lost the opportunity to learn from him, and the result would have been completely different. From this incident, I also gained a deep understanding of how a truly virtuous person looks. They are amiable and very humble. Since then, whenever I join a new group, I will never be deceived by others. Because if we listen to some people boasting about how well they know certain officials, how much property their family has, or how successful their career is, what would ordinary youths think? "Wow, how capable they are!" They would very likely be taken in the wrong direction. So the second point of consideration is humility. The third point is that a benevolent person must lead others by example. Whatever they have said, they can certainly implement, or they will only tell others after they have accomplished it. So a saint is one who acts before he speaks. One who acts after he speaks is a sage. One who cannot implement what he has said is called a liar. We should aspire to be a saint or a sage, but must not become a liar. I should neither be harsh nor give up on myself, for the state of saints and sages can gradually be attained. So we must always remind ourselves to set examples for others, starting from self-cultivation. I once went to the memorial hall of teacher Li Bingnan and felt deeply that he had always been leading by example. He had worn the same clothes and never replaced them for decades, yet they still looked unadorned and very clean in the exhibition. He had demonstrated to us the attitude of cherishing things. His undergarments and socks had been repeatedly sewn up. The visible parts of his clothes were very neat. It represents his respect for people. But he tried his best to patch the unseen parts, which represents the attitude of cherishing things. Did Teacher Li have many students? Many. Were there many people offering him clothes? A lot. But he would give them to other people. He could always see the needs of others. Teacher Li lived to the age of 97 and was still giving lectures then. His students said to him, "Teacher, since you have so many students, please let us help you deliver the talks. You don't have to work so hard." At the age of 97, how did he get onto the podium? Several students carried him to the podium. Teacher Li said, "So long as the public wants me to talk, I will try my best to talk each day as long as I live." This kind of attitude is indeed leading others by example. Teacher Li had a poem which goes, "Never change my warm-heartedness, simply due to the sympathy to those who are still in darkness. I only wish my light illuminating far away, so I will burn myself without any hesitation." From this poem, we can see that he would never lose the heart of helping others. He felt deep sympathy for those who are in the darkness, those who are not able to find a way out, as well as those who have not yet uncovered their wisdom. he treated them all with deep sympathy. As long as he could make light appear before their eyes, he would not hesitate to burn himself to illuminate others. So this elder had demonstrated to us the spirit of sacrifice and dedication. And his student, Professor Shi Jinkong, took his teacher's aspiration as his own. My teacher, Professor Shi Jinkong, is already 80 years old and is still running about the world for religious solidarity and world peace. The Venerable Master once mentioned in his lecture, "You young people must bring forth the mind of benefiting people. I am so old and still traveling around the world. If there is any youth who is willing to come out to contribute his effort to society, to the country, and to the world, I am willing to kowtow to you." When my teacher said this, we as students felt really ashamed. Being able to encounter such a great teacher to guide us, we should cherish it. We must regard our teacher's aspiration as our own. Despite my meager ability, I must do my very best to implement his teachings respectfully. Later, I gave rise to the thought of doing something to repay his kindness. As a result, I was invited to give talks in Shenzhen not long afterwards. Indeed, the environment that a person dwells in is completely brought about by his own mind. The power to induce is our true heart, while the response being induced is the environment. So I have been flying around since March. In fact, there are too many important things that need our sincere contribution in society and the world today. There are indeed many things of great urgency needed to be done in families, groups, and nations. And for these matters to be successful, what must we do? We must bring forth an aspiration. I believe when one has good wishes, heaven will surely bless him. I am elated to be able to learn from so many virtuous elders. I must be rigorously vigilant so that I won't perform badly and let down the guidance and teachings of so many teachers and elders. In the year before last, I lived in Taichung for half of the year. Teacher Yang took me to pay respects to teacher Xu Xingmin, who was almost 80 years old. As it was New Year's Eve, the streets were very crowded, especially nearby some overcrowded markets, so we were almost 20 minutes late. When we turned onto the lane of teacher Xu's house, he was already waiting for us at the entrance of that alley. Why did he do so? Because he was afraid that we could not locate his house. We saw him standing there waiting for us respectfully. This left a deep impression on me. The knowledge and wisdom are definitely not shown by how you talk, but by how you implement it. So we must lead by example. Often, teacher Yang has to travel around China to handle many matters. Sometimes, right after getting off the plane at around 10 to 11 o'clock, she would immediately start to work without taking a rest, because there were many affairs relating to Mahavalpuya Cultural Charity Network. She often worked until 2 to 3 o'clock in the morning. One time, she felt a little uncomfortable due to a cold, but she did not take a rest because of the heavy workload. Surprisingly, she felt she had recovered after staying up until past 4 o'clock. What healed her cold? The awe-inspiring righteous energy can disinfect. Afterwards, staying up late will cure a cold became a popular saying in Beijing. However, it varies from person to person. It is only effective when one dedicates himself to saints and sages' works, as well as public affairs, and it won't work otherwise. These are excellent examples given to me by these elders. I always keep them in mind. I also cherish opportunities of being able to become close to the benevolent ones. The number of times I actually met with Uncle Lu during this period of time may be counted on one hand, but I would seize the opportunity to learn from him every time I went back to Taiwan. Uncle Lu often talked much more than me in a day. Sometimes he talked to some youths after classes at night, and his voice had turned a little hoarse, yet he would feel neither weary nor tiresome. Indeed, a virtuous person can always implement leading by example. When we observe from this point, we can then be sure that such a person will be a role model and a good spiritual friend. Let us look at the classic text and recite it once. We are all human, but our types differ. The ordinary are many, benevolent people are rare. A truly benevolent person is held in awe by others. He will neither be afraid to speak the truth nor fawn on others. If I can be close to benevolent people, I will benefit immensely. My virtues will grow daily, and my wrongs will lessen day by day. Not becoming close with benevolent ones is definitely harmful. Petty-minded people will come, and everything will turn bad. Let us look at the first verse. We are all human, but our types differ. The ordinary are many, benevolent people are rare. My friends, can you feel the truth of this verse now? It is absolutely true. Nevertheless, the ordinary are many, benevolent people are rare is an effect. It is useless to complain about this effect. We must find out the cause. Why are there many ordinary people and rarely benevolent people today? Because the sage education has been lost. Without saints and sages' teachings, we cannot discern right from wrong and between good and bad. Even though the ordinary are many, they are actually the victims. As the Infinite Life Sutra states, the deviation from goodness of the past generations is because they did not learn moral education. No one has ever told them. They cannot be blamed. Who should we blame now? If we blame the previous generation, they would say, "I have never learned either." Should we keep looking who to blame? We should stop digging up the past. Where should we begin to change? We should start from our generation. We must not let sage teachings be buried, but reveal them to illuminate the world. Due to the loss of sage education and the increasingly serious extrinsic bad influences, people today, lacking internal foundation plus being threatened by enormous external temptations, are bound to rout like a landslide. So we should not be concerned about who are those ordinary ones, but what should we do in the first place? We must take a firm stand to make sure that we will not follow the crowd. When you have gained a foothold, you can then reach out to help and support others. After we have gradually improved our abilities, we can then extend our self-cultivation influence to harmonize family, govern a nation, and bring peace to the world. We must have confidence. So long as one's root is firmly established in sage education, he will never get carried along by the tide. He can absolutely transform himself and further transform a family, a group, and a society. We must have this confidence. When we taught this verse, "The ordinary are many, benevolent people are rare," we would tell the children, Even if we have stopped throwing rubbish, others may continue to do so. So we must teach children the attitude of learning to be a teacher of others and behaving as a paragon to society. Moreover, we have to tell children that we must not let 5 plus 2 equal 0. What does it mean, 5 plus 2 equals 0? This is a very common mathematical question. Have you gotten it right? 5 plus 2 equals 0, or sometimes it can be less than 0. This means that they have attended 5 days in school, but on Saturdays, they will play until midnight and sleep till noon the next day. Is there any progress made after slacking off in these 2 days? It is lucky enough if they showed neither progress nor regress. What would happen to them? Most of them would regress to less than 0. When we told the children this formula, what was their reaction? They burst into laughter. We then told them, we should never be like that. When we go home, not only should we set good examples for other children, but must also be a role model for our parents. These children made us very proud. They still get up at 6:30 and recite Di Zi Gui at 7 on weekends. Once, a mother was afraid that her daughter did not get enough sleep and did not wake her up. When she walked out of her room and saw the clock in the living room showing past 7, she burst into tears. This child's attitude has become her second nature. That cry was not just because she did not recite Di Zi Gui. What was the other more important factor? She failed to follow the teacher's instruction. How did she treat the teacher? Very respectfully. So the ordinary are many, benevolent people are rare. Understanding this fact, we should often encourage ourselves and improve our abilities. Next, a truly benevolent person is held in awe by others. He will neither be afraid to speak the truth nor fawn on others. If one is truly a benevolent person, most people will be in awe of him when they see him. Thus, in the Analects, Confucius students describe their teacher as such. Seen from afar, he looks stern. Looking from a distance, they saw their teacher was very austere and dignified. It made people give rise to a respectful mind. When approached, he is amiable. When they really approached him and discussed their learning with him, they felt that he was very warm-hearted. Since Confucius was a benevolent person, he was thoughtful of others at all times, and his words were always meant to uncover their wisdom, so they could certainly feel that their teacher was thinking of them. That is why, when approached, he is amiable. He is held in awe by others. He will neither be afraid to speak the truth nor fawn on others. This means that there were absolutely no taboos in his words. He could speak frankly to you because he does not have selfish desires, thereby he is upright. There is a motto which goes, when one does not have selfish desire, his virtue can then stand upright like a 1,000-foot cliff. A benevolent person will never pursue fame and profit, so they will use frank words to guide and help us. They will not fawn on others. This refers to flattering and toadying. Since they are upright with no selfish desires, neither do they beg nor act in the manner of ingratiating others. Next, if I can be close to benevolent people, I will benefit immensely. My virtues will grow daily and my wrongs will lessen day by day. We must also understand the genuine implication of this teaching. Does it mean to learn from benevolent people once a month or two? How often should we do so? all the time.
Good answer. Let's give her a big applause. May I ask, how do we do it all the time?
We would not be able to read 弟子规 when we are walking down the street.
So how do we implement the principle of all the time?
By genuinely practicing and remembering the teachings respectfully, we must familiarize ourselves with the entire contents of that classic so that we can imprint them on our minds. In addition, there is a core method which is the condensed essence of Chinese culture. Only 3 words, it can enable us to observe whether we are in accordance with the saints' teachings or not.
Which 3 words are the core of Chinese culture?
It is to be a monarch, parent, and teacher of others.
The most noble things in nature are heaven, earth, monarch, parent, and teacher.
Many provinces in China still set a tablet for heaven, earth, monarch, parent, and teacher in their ancestral hall.
In fact, to be monarch, parent, and teacher is to implement the virtues of heaven and earth into our self-cultivation, harmonizing our families, and contributing to society.
Consequentially, the Chinese have a special respect for their monarchs, parents, and teachers.
In addition to their identities, the monarch, parent, teacher have their essential significance.
As long as we constantly ask ourselves, "Have I been others' monarch, parent, and teacher?" we can then always stay on the path of saints and sages.
Many people say, "I'm not an employer. How can I be a monarch?"
In fact, the monarch signifies leading by example or teaching through action.
Next is be others' parent.
Parent here implies caring and loving, regarding others as our own family members.
The following is to be others' teacher.
Teacher here connotes giving guidance in accordance with their aptitude.
It is to grasp opportunities to give verbal teachings and guidance.
Be others' monarch, parent, and teacher can definitely solve all the problems among people.
When the problems among people can be solved, can we solve societal issues?
The whole society is simply the gathering of multitude of people.
Once we master the right attitude of treating people, the problems among people and society will naturally be resolved.
Needless to say, people can then surely get along harmoniously with nature.
Mencius told us, "Only being affectionate to family can one be benevolent to people. After being benevolent to people, he is then able to love all things."
Observing this sequence, one will naturally extend his benevolence to care for and respect all things.
So world peace can be realized as long as the relationship among people is well managed.
When we can constantly remind ourselves whether we have been others' monarch, parent, and teacher, then our path of cultivating of Dao will progress rapidly.
Nowadays, we have heard parents saying that it is not easy to discipline children, teachers saying that students are not easy to educate, and the employers saying that it is not easy to lead the employees.
These are all consequences. What is the cause?
What is the cause?
There is a sentence which is the essential doctrine in Confucianism. When things don't accord with my wish, I must turn inwards and introspect myself.
This verse is very intriguing. Its allusion comes from the doctrine of the mean.
In this classic, Confucius mentioned,
"In archery, we can find a similar principle with being a virtuous man."
Shooting an arrow is similar to cultivating to become a virtuous man. when we pull the bowstring and prepare to shoot the arrow, but we miss the target after the arrow is discharged. This is called missing the center of the target. Who should we blame when the arrow misses the target? We should turn around to find the cause of our failure in ourselves. We must blame ourselves for lacking the skill. However, people today, when missing the target, will immediately say, "Which company made that arrow and this bow? Why are they so badly made?" They did not find the crux of the problem when they feel children were not easy to teach and employees not easy to lead, because they did not turn inward to introspect themselves. Let us take a look at why parents today think that children cannot be taught well. It is because they have not implemented being a monarch parent and teacher. Let's see if parents today have been leading by example. Have they? They may demand children to practice Dizigui teachings and be filial to parents, yet speak to their own parents with a bad attitude themselves. As a result, people below emulate the conducts of the people above. I remember one true story of a region where people had a bad custom. When their parents were too old, the children would carry them up to a mountain and leave them there, while they would return home by themselves. The grandson, who could not bear to see this, kept persuading his father not to put his grandfather on the mountain, but his father refused to listen. Later, he followed his father to carry his grandfather up to the mountain. After they put down the grandpa and prepared to go home, the grandson took his grandpa out of the bamboo basket and took the basket along. His father said to him, "Just leave the basket there. Why did you pick it up?" The grandson said to his father, "I am taking it home so that I can carry you up the mountain in the future." Was this grandson wise? Yes. He used this expedient approach to awaken his father's filial piety. His father thought, "If I'm not filial, my son will learn from me and not be filial to me." So if parents do not set a good example, then it is like a house where the lower beam will go aslant when the upper beam is not straight. The more people I come into contact with, the more I deeply feel that the influence of the family education is absolutely true. As parents, we must first consider whether we have been a monarch to our children. Parents will surely say that they have been a parent because they have been going all out to make money every day for their children. Isn't this a loving parent? If wisdom is absent in love, then to love someone is actually to harm him. The consequences will be rather serious if we spoil children. A saying in Hokkien dialect goes, "Doting on your pig, it will turn your stove upside down. Doting on your son, he will become unfilial. Doting on your wife, she will cause chaos. Doting on your husband, you will cry at midnight. Doting on your daughter, she will have difficulty accepting the family rules of her in-laws." Look, the local sayings always contain the deep wisdom of life. These local sayings were filtered to only leave the essence and passed down from our ancestors. One sentence can be a great reminder to our lives. Let us look at the verse, "Doting on your pig, it will turn your stove upside down." If you spoil your pig, it will run into your kitchen and overturn your stove. How realistic is this saying? People today raise a dog but never train it well, so it runs to the owner's bed and wags its tail. When the owner says, "Get out of my bed," it still ignores him because it knows where your bottom line is. Even a dog can probe your bottom line. Can people do so? So when we educate children, we must be very principled. Otherwise, children will see through our weakness. We should not even dote on pigs, let alone dote on people. Therefore, if you dote on your son, he will become unfilial. I once heard a case from a friend. There was a couple who raised 6 sons. Were they happy? All 6 children are sons. The couple bought 6 houses for all 6 sons and married them 6 wives. 1 son, 1 wife. Ha ha ha! Everything was arranged for them. Aren't such parents great? How did the parents end up? They had no place to live. Is this considered loving their children? It is harming them. If parents were to help their child do everything since he was young, what attitude will he develop? I deserve everything my parents did for me. In the end, the eldest son still had a little conscience. He built a small wooden house next to the pigsty for his parents. The neighbors could not bear to see this and told the couple, "Sue your 6 sons!" Should they do so? Should they sue? Should they? Zhu Boilu's Maxims states, "Contention and lawsuits are forbidden in a family. Litigation will end up in doom." Had they won the lawsuit and every son had to take turns to support the couple for 2 months, for instance, what would have been the ending? Their daughters-in-law probably would throw meals to them and say, "Hurry up to eat!" They originally could have lived for 10 to 20 years after retirement, but they might have only 3 years to live after being supported by 6 sons in shifts. They might get driven mad every day and contract cancer. Had they known the consequences, would they have done what they did? So we must educate children with virtues as their root. This is to truly love them. Next, doting on your son, he will become unfilial. Doting on your wife, she will cause chaos. So even your wife, you should not dote on her. If you do, she will act irrationally by crying, whining, and threatening suicide. You will tremble when your phone suddenly rings while you are at work, wondering if your wife is trying to make a fuss again. In the end, your career and family will be messed up. So what kind of woman should we marry? One with virtues. Do men today know this? They do not know. But we cannot blame them. They have never learned the first poem entitled Guan Zhi in the Classic of Poetry, which reads, "Guan Guan, cry the ospreys on the islet in the river. A clement fine lady is the perfect match for a gentleman." Why is Guan Zhi the first poem in the Classic of Poetry? And this poem unexpectedly talks about a bird and a clement fine lady? The Classic of Poetry is a rather important classic in China. Why did this classic talk about Guan Zhi in the first section? There is great wisdom in it. Which relationship is the pivot among the 5 ethical relationships? The husband-wife relationship. So this first article talks about the way of husband-wife. Why was a bird used to educate people? There is wisdom in it too. I once asked the middle school students, "What does clement fine mean?" One of the female students, an 8th grader, answered, "Women with slender bodies." I said, "The genuine meaning of the saints has been completely distorted." However, she cannot be blamed because many weight loss ads use this phrase. Those fallacious ads confuse people, so they cannot be blamed. Clement fine lady refers to a lady with great virtues. Why was Guan Zhi placed in the first section? Because this kind of bird, Osprey will never change partners once they find one. People are very sensitive to their self-esteem. If you pointed out to someone directly, "How could you abandon your wife?" he would answer you, "Mind your own business! Isn't it right?" But if you use this poem to tell him, "You see, even the bird is unwilling to betray its mate. How can we humans be inferior to birds?" By using this method, he will know how to restrain himself right away if he has a sense of shame. What about those who do not have a sense of shame? You will not incur his enmity either. That is why there are so many names of insects, fishes, birds, and beasts in the classic of poetry. They were all used as metaphors to arouse people's innate virtues and conscience. So we must seek a virtuous person when we look for a life partner. It is mentioned in Guan Zhi, "Varied in length are the water plants. She picks them from left and right." This water plant was offered before the ancestors during the memorial rite. Who went to pick these plants? Who went? The daughter-in-law. This is of great significance. It represents that a virtuous daughter-in-law would pick the water plants for the memorial rite so that the ancestors' spirits felt gratified. Because having a good daughter-in-law can let three generations flourish, and it will cause the ancestors to weep for three generations otherwise. Since marrying a good wife or husband is supremely important, marriage ceremony has become the most carefully and grandly conducted ceremony among all Chinese etiquette. Hence, the wife cannot be doted on, neither can a husband be doted on. Doting on your husband, you will cry at midnight. This means that if you were to spoil your husband, he would linger outside for pleasure and forget to come home, while you would cry alone at home and could not get to sleep. This would be very bad. How about your daughter? You cannot dote on her either. If your daughter is spoiled, she will possibly bring chaos to her in-law family. So educating your daughter is a crucial task. Many young ladies today have fiery tempers even after they get married. Often, when their temper flares, they would say, "I am going back to my mother's house." To no surprise, her parents say to her, "It's okay, come home, we will be your backer." Is there such a situation? Are they loving their child when they do so? Yes or no? No. Your daughter is someone's wife and mother in her life. She must learn to exercise forbearance and know how to forge herself in different situations. If she retreats right away when facing tests, then she will never be able to learn the skills that she should acquire in this life. So we must not dote on our daughters. I remember when I was little, my maternal grandparents came to our house. Their visits to our house can almost be counted with two hands. Every time my maternal grandma came, she would hold my paternal grandma's hand and said to her as they walked, "My daughter does not talk sweet enough. My daughter does chores like a snail. My daughter has many shortcomings." Along their way to the door, she would name all the weakness of my mother. When the two elders sat down, my paternal grandma would say, "This daughter-in-law is superb. She is good at this, good at that." I was puzzled by what I saw. I did not understand at that time, but I do now. We must first tell the weak points of our own daughters and leave their positive points for the mother-in-laws to say. So only with sophisticated skills in dealing with interpersonal relationships can we create symphonies everywhere. and these sophisticated interpersonal skills can only be learned from elders who have experienced many life tests. So young people must pay attention to ethics. We must respect elders and honor sages, or else we will suffer great loss in life. Only when parents love their children with the correct method can they be regarded as parents. Next, what else must we accomplish? Be children's teacher. We must cherish opportunities to educate them when we should. Some parents' sensitivity to education is too low. They did not grab the right time to teach their children when they should. Gradually, when their children have formed bad habits, it will be too late to educate them. Why do parents fail to educate their children? What do they not constantly observe? Be a monarch parent and teacher for their children. Likewise, why do employers fail to lead their staff successfully? Why? Perhaps they only hold the title of manager or general manager, but fail to lead them by example. Will the subordinates be convinced? Very difficult. Apart from being manager, do you regard your staff as your family? If you don't, will the working atmosphere be good? No. Your staff may feel like they go to work every day like a machine. As a superior, when you go somewhere for a vacation, for example, you can buy some local delicacies to share with all the employees. They will feel that this leader is always thoughtful of them. When you manage the atmosphere of a company like a family, you have implemented being a parent. Furthermore, being a teacher. New employees must have many things that they are not familiar with or do not know. You should always reach out to support and guide them. When you can be a monarch parent and teacher, I believe your staff will be very convinced by you and will respect you greatly. Lastly, teachers who wish to educate children well must also lead by example, being children's monarch. They should treat their students as they treat their own children, being students' parents. In addition, they must spare no effort to guide children, being children's teacher. As long as we have implemented being a monarch, parent, and teacher, we can certainly educate well our students and lead well our employees, as well as teach well our children. Hence, when we are able to observe ourselves constantly with being a monarch, parent, and teacher, I believe that your virtues and wisdom will grow by the day. We will stop here for today. Thank you.
For MP3 and full transcripts, please visit MahayanaPureLand.org. No copyright. Infinite merits to propagate. Filial to parents, respect to teachers. See you again.